The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. You probably didn't realize it when you walked in here today, but you are attending a wedding today. A wedding feast. A wedding ceremony prepared by God for His Son. And we're invited. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 904, Blessed Jesus at Your Word. Note the last verse is a Trinitarian verse, and so we'll stand. Following that hymn, we'll pray Matins. That's on page 219 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we are here at Your gracious invitation. Help us to truly hear, mark, learn, and inwardly digest Your Word. Your Word of promise. Your Word of peace. Your Word of forgiveness. Your Word of life. Heavenly Father, as You have invited us to the feast, help us to truly celebrate with the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, whose life, death, and resurrection makes this feast possible. Heavenly Father, it's in His name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 904.
O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever.
Amen.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship.
God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
We sing the intro it.
Lord, by your name, O
5:33. Please be seated. Old Testament reading for the 20th Sunday after Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me, hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you did not know shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they went off, but they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him out into the outer darkness. Into that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the common responsory. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Peace, love, and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago from Matthew 22. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we had a wedding here at Good Shepherd Friday afternoon. We've had scores of weddings here over the years. I think I've officiated at well over 200 weddings. Much of the wedding ceremony I can recite by heart. Maybe you can too. It's not uncommon to see a wedding at a TV show or a movie. We know the words, don't we? How many times don't we hear the dearly beloved words? And we know what's happening. There's a wedding. A wedding going on. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and before His church to witness the union of this man and this woman in holy matrimony. This is an honorable estate, instituted and blessed by God in paradise before humanity's fall into sin. And then in this exhortation comes the next line. In marriage, we see a picture of the communion between Christ and His bride, the church. In marriage, we see a picture of the communion between Christ and His bride, the church. The Bible talks this way all the time. How marriage which is common among us, marriage gives us a picture of that intimate relationship between Jesus and the church, between Jesus and you. We don't often talk about that image in the church, and I'm not sure why. I know that I've had more than a few men who have come up to me and say, "You know, I really don't like that picture. I don't really like that image. I don't want to be thought of as a bride." We're not talking about your gender. We're talking about the intimate relationship, like a husband and a wife, the intimate relationship between Christ and His bride, the church, believers, you and me. The Apostle John records for us in the revelation of St. John, chapter 19, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory.' Why? For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. Blessed are you because you are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. You may be thinking at this point, so what? My friends, that's what our Bible reading, our gospel text, this parable from Jesus is all about. God is the King who throws the marriage feast in honor of His Son. It's not about us. It's about the Son of the King. It's about Jesus. And how does Jesus prepare Himself for the wedding? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Word, the eternal Logos, takes on flesh and blood. He becomes a human being. He is incarnate of the Virgin Mary. Why? So that He can be our bridegroom. And we can be His bride. This is God's design and plan from the very beginning. And from the very beginning, the invitation goes out. We hear this in our parable. The king sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast. The invitation goes out. It's gone out since the beginning of time. God desires all people to be saved. The invitation goes out. But what happens to the invitation? They were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. They would not come. Maybe you've had that happen. You get an invitation in the mail. Maybe it's to a wedding. Maybe it's to a financial seminar. Doesn't matter. You get the invitation, and what do you do with it? I'm not going. Or maybe you look at it and you think about going, but something more important comes up. Maybe it just completely slips your mind. Again, the king, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Isaiah 25 teaches us about this heavenly feast. A feast of aged wines. A feast with the greatest of meats. A true banquet prepared by God Himself. The invitation goes out. The prophets and the patriarchs preach God's word. Come to the feast. But what happens? They paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. Well, at least they were polite, right? They were, what's the new slogan? Nebraska nice? Yes. Oh, well, thanks for the invitation, but I'm kind of busy. Thanks, but no thanks. Oh, I'll keep you in my thoughts. They were nice. They were polite. But they had no intention of going to the feast because everything else was more important. Their work, their family, their friends, their sports, their leisure. Doesn't matter. Whatever was on their mind, the invitation to the wedding feast was further down the list. But not everybody was polite. You see, God is persistent. God keeps sending out His invitation. He sincerely desires that everyone believe. He wants everyone to come to the feast and celebrate this joyous communion between Christ and believers, His church. And so the message keeps going out. What happens to you when you get an invitation to something you don't want to go to? And that invitation just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. Well, after a while, you stop being Nebraska nice, don't you? At least that's the temptation. The rest seized the king's servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. You don't have to read too many pages in the Holy Scriptures to know that these words are true. Prophet after prophet after prophet mocked, ridiculed, beaten, arrested, killed, beheaded. The message goes out. Some politely ignore. Others are not so polite. They don't like the message. They don't like the invitation. And so they take it out on the messenger. The king's patience wore out too. The king was angry. He sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready." But those invited were not worthy. The feast is ready. God sincerely desires all to believe the good news and come to a knowledge and an understanding of Christ as Savior and Lord. But those who reject His message, while they anger the king and the king's justice is right and righteous, that does not stop the feast from happening. The message goes out even more, even louder, even stronger. To those who were invited and want nothing to do with the feast, the king turns his back. But now, the servants go out. "Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find." And those servants went into the roads and they gathered all who they found, both good and bad by the world's standards, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. My friends, the gospel call, the invitation, continues to go out as it has from the very beginning when God gave His first promise to Adam and Eve in the garden that Satan's head would be crushed by the Savior of the world. The wedding feast is ready. Come to the feast. The word goes out. Every time we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven," we are reminded that our gracious Heavenly Father invites us to come to Him as a dear child approaches his dear Father. The invitation keeps going out. We confess in the third article of the Creed, "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel." That's the invitation, folks. That invitation keeps going out. Doesn't matter whether you're good or bad by the world's standard. God is inviting you to the feast. Come to the feast. My friends, this wedding is a joyous event. The bride, you and me, we are dressed in splendor. But it's not a splendor of our own. You see, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So what does our bridegroom Jesus do? We give Him our filthy rags. He gives us His robe of righteousness. We give Him our sin and death. He takes it into Himself all the way to the cross. And through His death, gives us life. We give Him our mortality. He gives us the resurrection and the life. My friends, we are spotless and pure because we've been robed with the righteousness of our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. In fact, you might say that the righteousness of Jesus that is ours by grace through faith is our wedding garment. Jesus is the wedding garment. He clothes us with Himself. That helps understand the next part of our parable. When the king came to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness, into that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." My friends, you understand what we have here? Someone has crashed the wedding party, thinking that they can have the wedding feast, forgiveness, life, salvation, heaven, without Jesus. And the king says, it cannot be so. There's a danger. There's a temptation. And there is a call to repentance for all of us in these last words of our text. How easy it is to just go through the motions in our faith, in our Christianity, in our church. How easy it is to think that because our name is on a church roll, or we've been baptized, or we show up occasionally, that all is well. My friends, Jesus calls us to repentance today and asks us to examine, what are we clothed in? Are we clothed in Christ? Are we clothed in His blood and His righteousness? Or do we dare to stand before God on our own? Standing before God with our works, our righteousness, our filthy rags. You think it can't happen? A couple of years ago, there was a book written about an untold part of World War II. Many of us know about the war crimes trials at Nuremberg that happened after World War II. There were 21 leading Nazis who were brought on trial before the world for their heinous acts, for their crimes against humanity. And there was a man, a military chaplain, a Lutheran pastor by the name of Henry Gierke, who was assigned to be the chaplain for these 21 Nazi war criminals. He met with them on a regular basis. He brought them the Bible, Luther's small catechism, because the vast majority of these men were Lutheran. He prayed with them. He begged them to repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. There was one whose name is probably pretty familiar, Reichsmarschall Hermann Göring. Hermann Göring, raised in the Lutheran Church, baptized in the Lutheran Church, confirmed in the Lutheran Church, had Luther's small catechism memorized, attended the church with much fanfare, parading himself before the altar of the Lord as he ate and drank Christ's body and blood. But there was a problem. He didn't believe any of it. It was all for show. Privately, he mocked the Bible. Privately, he mocked the account of creation. Privately, he mocked Jesus and the miracles. Privately, Jesus was just a smart and conniving Jew. Reichsmarschall Hermann Göring's rationale for all of this was very simple. Oh, I believe there is a God who takes care of really, really big things. But there is no God who would take care of someone as insignificant as Hermann Göring. My friends, how easy it is to think that the events of this world, the events of your life or your work or your family, are somehow testimony that there may be a God, but certainly not a God for me. The parable of the wedding banquet is God's call to you. God's love for you is real. Jesus took on flesh and blood for you. Jesus lived and died and lives again for you. God calls you into this intimate relationship. God clothes you with the robe of righteousness. Today is the feast of victory for our God. For the Lamb who was slain is now alive. For you, there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is life, and there is salvation for all who are clothed in Christ Jesus. And you know the amazing thing? When we are robed with the righteousness of Christ, a purity that is not our own, but one that comes from Jesus, before long, we start to act the way God looks at us. Righteous and holy and pure. The robe of Jesus sticks out in how we treat one another, how we love one another, how we serve one another. And when we soil our garment with the soil of our sin, as we always do, there is Jesus, our Bridegroom, calling us back, welcoming us into His loving arms. My son, my daughter, I love you with an everlasting love. I forgive you all your sin. My friends, rejoice. All has been prepared. The wedding feast of the Lamb is ready. Come and enjoy forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our celebrations in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. As we celebrate, we sing. One of the great songs of celebration that has been handed down for the centuries in the church, the Te Deum, page 223 and following. Please stand as we sing.
We praise you, O God.
Amen. Please be seated.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Welcome to the wedding feast. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a Savior, Jesus Christ, for you would be yours today and always. This time also we worship God with our gifts and our offerings.
Also remember Clara Dinas, who is hospitalized, Lynn Pagels, brother of Barb Poppy, who is hospitalized following a seizure, and Jeanette Stellick, mother of Brent Stellick, who is hospitalized following surgery, and also Jared and Rihanna Heim, Olson, joined in marriage on Friday. We stand for prayer, beginning with the Kyrie, page 227. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Triune God, Creator and Sustainer of all things, empower the Church and her works, that she may stand unswerving against the devil as a testament to your almighty strength. Lord, in your mercy, guide our nation's leaders that they may enact your justice and defend the downtrodden. And let your blessing rest on all who serve in our armed forces, upholding them in honor. Lord, in your mercy, deliver the promises of Holy Scriptures to the sick, the homebound, the grieving, and the lonely, especially Clara, Lynn, Jeanette, Jerry, Frederick, Celeste, Diane, Chip, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Jan, Callie, Jim, Sonia, Julie, Lyle, Dwayne, Haley, Jason, Ken, Bonnie, Susie, Kaylee, Shar, Sherry, Anna, Larry, and Clee, that they may find comfort in the gospel of peace and rejoice in your promise of complete restoration at the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, direct and care for our children, that they may grow to be your servants, boldly proclaiming the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ and trusting in his merits alone for salvation. Lord, in your mercy, remember our families and loved ones who have passed away and gone to be with you in the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. And we give thanks that in Christ we have the hope of seeing them again in that glorious banquet. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May be seated for our closing hymn, number 686, 686.
walk in the name of Jesus. We'll have our Sunday school opening at 9:20. That's about 12 minutes from now. Kids, you can go get some goodies, but be back in here at 9:20. All right? Okay. And the rest of you are invited to our Sunday school opening as well. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed. Not this Friday, but a week from Friday is the big family fun night, so make sure you have that marked on your calendars. We have a church cleanup day that's coming toward the end of the month on a Saturday. Many hands make light work. If you can help out with that, that would be great as well. Special thanks to the special wedding music today. Turned out wonderful and tied in very, very well. We've got two opportunities for Bible study today. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall first. You're all invited. In room 109, Pastor Marundi will be teaching the Bible and summary of Christian doctrine, basics of the faith. If you'd like to find out a little bit more about Lutherans or would just like a little refresher, that's the place to be, room 109. And in the fellowship hall, well, yeah, we'll have the Bible in there too, but we are examining the tenets of Islam. And so we will be referring to the holy book of Islam, the Quran, quite a bit over the next few weeks and comparing them to the truth, to the teachings of Jesus. Last week we looked at the formal principles of Islam. Where do they get their teaching? Today we're going to look at the material principle of Islam. What is the most important teaching? And some of it will not surprise you, some of it may. So that'll be in the fellowship hall, and we'll be looking at Islam for the next several weeks. Pastor.
You see in your bulletin on Saturday, our upper grades teacher at our school will be moving in, Joy Barefoot and her family. We installed her, you know, it's been about a month ago or something like that. You see in the bulletin there are items that they could use in their new home, and then I believe, 1:30 p.m. They'll be unloading the truck, and the address is there and all that. So many hands once again make light work, and we'll welcome the Barefoot family. Not only they've been part of our school, but also to our congregation. So if you would be, if you're able to help out, that would be awesome.
Okay, awesome. Yes. And you can get the whole thing unloaded and work and all that before kickoff. So, yeah, no problem. Vicar, anything? All right. Please join us for coffee and goodies and the study of God's Word. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus.
Ha, ha, ha.